Someone said earlier that in regard to the presentation that was made earlier, they'd never seen me without anything to say. And then, just before I got up here, Barbara said K-I-S-S. And when I was in, Martha did that, you know, that's my sister. They told me in school that that meant keep it short, stupid. So anyway, I've heard all versions of that, but that's a good one. This has been a marvelous day for me to be able to share it with you. And someone, one of our members, had mentioned here earlier that 50 years was a lot of time, a lot of years, and to be able to meet so many folk and to be a part of great works in the church, and hopefully to influence those for good is something that I think about often. And I appreciate the opportunity this afternoon of being here with all of you and sharing this lesson. The truth has always been important to me, and I hope it is to you as well. And when we look at John 8 and verse 32, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. There is a verse that precedes that, and it is, if you abide in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. I firmly believe, as Alan has indicated in a previous lesson, that we can believe a lot of things when it comes to Christianity. And there are a lot of things that we can know, not only about ourselves, but about the religion of Jesus and about Christianity and about whether or not we're following in the paths of right and good. And recently I printed out a booklet that was a part of a lesson that I presented on the radio, A Way That Is Right and Cannot Be Wrong. We have a man in the area who has taken issue with that and has said that we cannot really know for sure. We cannot really know. And then he begins to telling us what all he knows. And that's the way it usually goes. But what we're talking about this morning are things that have to do with the truths of the Bible. Not speculation, not think-sos, but things that will help us to realize that we can know the truth. And that truth will set us free. I want this morning to share with you some concepts, and that is, there are many religious doctrines that have been and are being taught in our world. It has been estimated by some that there are 30,000 denominational groups in our world. I haven't been able to find that figure. But I do know this, that there are thousands of religious bodies in the world. And when we talk to people, trying to get them to see that there is a body of truth, as has already been related in another lesson, that God has revealed His will to us and it's possible for us to know what it is. And not only that, but Paul wrote that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind, the same judgment. Now, either that is the truth or it's not. And I believe that it is. And so with all of these religious bodies believing and teaching whatever they want, it's no wonder that people are confused. But as I usually tell people, just go to the Bible and study it for yourself. Examine it for yourself. Don't rely upon someone else. Just open up the pages of the Bible and study. These many doctrines are taught because those who teach them wish for others to learn and accept and live by those doctrines. I want to share with you something that just happened recently. We have a man in Dunbar, and he was in our assembly about 3 weeks ago, who has written a book entitled Spiritual Terrorism, in which he promotes the fact that he does not believe in hell, that there is no such thing as hell, and that we are scaring people to death by telling them about hell. Now, let me ask you a question. Is hell in the Bible? Yes. Is it truth? Yes. Are we to preach the truth? Yes. So we need to warn people of that, right? Well, a few weeks ago, he was in our assembly, and he caught me in the back, and he said, I'd like to talk to you about something. And I had a lesson that morning on Sodom and Gomorrah being destroyed. And as I went to the back of the building, he said, I'd like to talk to you for a minute. And I said, that's fine. And I had already talked about Lot's wife turning to a pillar of salt. You all remember that we're here, I'm sure. And I tried to make it very vivid. Well, he asked me this question. He said, do you know why Lot's wife was turned to a pillar of salt? I said, well, I told everybody this morning why she disobeyed God and was turned to a pillar of salt. He said, oh, no. He said, salt in the Bible is used as a preservative. He said, you know that, don't you? I said, well, yes. We're to be salt to the world, right? And he said, salt is used also as a purifier, as a preservative. And then he said this. He said, do you know why Lot's wife was turned to a pillar of salt? I said, yes. She disobeyed God and was turned to a pillar of salt. And he said, well, let me go in another direction. He says, you've already said that salt is a preservative, and we're salt. We're to be an influence toward people. And he said, you really know what salt, what really happened to Lot's wife? And I said, well, I guess you're going to tell me. And I said that very kindly. And he said, salt was a purification process for Lot's wife because God extended to her grace. Have you ever heard that before? I haven't found that in the Bible either. So immediately I can begin to examine, can I not, what the Bible says versus what he says. And I can see differences. Well, if there are differences, then I need to study more and find out what the Bible really says. The only sound reason to advocate that a religious doctrine is to be accepted is to be found in its truth. This man claims to be a born-again Trinitarian. And then he said, not only that, but I am a Christian universalist. Now figure that one out for terms. His belief is that all men are ultimately going to be saved. There is no hell, so everybody is ultimately going to be saved. I told the church here, when I moved to this area, I hadn't noticed it before, but when I moved to the Charleston area, in the obituary column of the Charleston newspaper, every day, just look at it, go home and look at it today, every person is going to heaven. Every single one. They're not going to miss it. So when we think about this, these religious doctrines, according to this fellow and others, is that they are to be accepted as truth. If there is truth in religion, then in addition to sincerity, there must be a desire for truth, a desire strong enough to compel belief to change wherever it is found to be false. If there is something that is presented to us that is false, then our attitude should be, I'm going to change my thinking. I'm going to change my belief. Now, when we think about this, there are some false ideas about truth that are presented in our world, and I want to share these with you very briefly. It is a false view of the truth to hold that it can be diluted with additions of mere human doctrine and still be acceptable to God. What is it that God accepts? What is it that he does not accept? Well, I was telling somebody the other day, they were talking to me about infant baptism and sprinkling babies and so on and so forth, and I simply said, where is that found in the Bible? You know, if it's not in the Bible, it shouldn't be accepted. If it is found in the Bible, then we could accept it, but it's not. So notice, in additions, men dilute the truth. They not only dilute the truth, but they also add to, and you know what the Bible says about that we're not to add to, right? We're not to add to, and that primarily deals with the book of Revelation, but we're not to add to ever anything to God's word. Would you all agree? Never, ever are we to add anything to God's word. Now, also, it is a false view of the truth to hold that men can take away from it and the result will still be acceptable to God. Have you ever been in a study with somebody and you've read to them the scriptures and they say, well, I don't see it that way. This goes back to Alan's lesson too. Well, I don't see it that way. And so they refuse to accept what the Bible really says. And what happens is, after we examine it, they have taken away from God's word to do whatever they want to do, and maybe even ignore God's word. And so then Revelation chapter 22 and verse 19 tells us not to take away anything from God's word. So we're not to add to, and we're not to take away from the word of God. No one has any right at all to take any statement out of the Bible. God's word is divinely inspired, and we're not to add to it or take away from it. It is a false view of truth to hold that man can pervert truth and still be pleasing to God. Some say, well, it doesn't really matter at all what we believe or think. Well, it does. Paul, you remember, said that though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached, let him be accursed, let him be condemned. We can't pervert it. This man I was talking about a while ago perverts, changes, adds to, takes away from. So we know it's not the truth. There are many people who urge us to accept the view that a perverted gospel is just as powerful in the saving of the soul as the true gospel is. Well, now that's kind of nonsensical, isn't it? I want to share with you a quote. Consider truth as a thing of highest value, and spare no pains, cost, or sacrifice to obtain it. And when gotten, keep it safe. Do not barter it for earthly profit or the pleasures of sense. Do not be reasoned out of it or laughed out of it. Do not part with it for any consideration. You know, individuals have, and probably will continue to, laugh at us and ridicule us for the beliefs that we hold dear from the Scripture. Don't ever let anything to cause us to consider that the truth is not valid, because it is. John 12 and verse 48, you remember these words, "He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken unto him will judge him in the last day." Those of you that are preachers in our assembly today, I'm sure think about this often. And many of you that are students of God's word probably feel the same way. Every time I pick up this book, 66 books in all, but when I pick up God's revelation, I know it pertains to me. And I know that ultimately I'm going to be judged according to this, not something else. We have one that judges us. The words that I've spoken, the same shall judge you in the last day. We're going to face that one day. And the truth will make us free. He commands all men everywhere to repent. Is that true or not? It's true now just as much so as it was when it was first spoken, right? God commands all men everywhere to repent. Well, that's been true throughout all the Bible, has it not? He wanted men and women and boys and girls to change their lives, to change their mind, their heart, and go in the right direction. I usually use the illustration of a GPS. My GPS has a woman on there. Y'all have a woman on yours? She gets nasty sometimes. We'll be on vacation, and I have that thing set, and you know, we get off to get a McDonald's or something, and the first thing you hear is, "You need to turn around right now. Turn around and go in the opposite direction. Turn around just as soon as you can." I told Barbara, I said, "Boy, she gets nasty. I get tired of hearing that woman." But, you know, she's right. One of these days, I'll probably change it to a man. Still be even worse off. But anyway, go in the opposite is trying to tell you you're going the wrong direction. You need to turn around and go in the right direction. Well, isn't that what the Bible teaches us? We've been going in the wrong direction, and now what we need to do is repent. We need to change our mind and our heart and go in the right direction. Well, once you go in the right direction, she gets all quiet again for a while. See? Because you finally figured it all out. It is a false view of the truth to hold that it is not exclusive to salvation from sin. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. In a positive way, the Bible makes it clear that those who believe and obey the truth will be saved. There are ample verses that will depict that for us. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven. You know, people don't like the last part of that. He that doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven. Now, question is, are we doing the will of the Father in heaven? The first question ought to be, do we want to go to heaven when we die? Well, if that be the case, if we want to go to heaven when we die, then why wouldn't we want to do God's will? But you see, some believe that as long as they call the Lord, Lord, that they're all right. Or as long as they believe that Jesus is the Christ, they're in a saved relationship and there's nothing else that they need to do. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth, isn't that what 1 Peter 1:22 says? And that truth in those verses has to do with the incorruptible word, the word of God. You have obeyed the truth, therefore you have purified your souls. I don't know of any other way of doing that, do you? You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free, John 8 and verse 32, in a negative way. The Bible makes it clear that those who do not both hear and obey the words of Christ are like the foolish man. You know what happened to the foolish man? Foolish man built his house on the sand. It wasn't built on a solid foundation, so it collapsed. When the winds came and the rains came, beat upon the house, it was destroyed because it wasn't built on a solid foundation. In Matthew 25, the last few verses of that text talks about those who are going to go away into eternal punishment. There's an answer for this man, one of them anyway. Those who have done evil are going to go away into everlasting punishment. But those who have done right are going to have everlasting life. One of two ways. Is the Bible right or not? Well, I want to share with you, and this is a passage that all of you know, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 through 9. I'd like to share with you for just a few moments. And to give you who are troubled rest when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those, notice, he's going to take vengeance out on those who know not God. Is that true or not? It is true. We might refuse to accept it, but it's still true. And why do I know that's true? Because the truth will make us free. It's from God's revealed will. Those who do not know God will be lost. Then notice also, and those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. You mean to tell me that individuals that do not obey the gospel are going to be lost? That's what the Bible says. Those who do not obey the gospel are going to be lost. Why do we have so many discussions with religious folk on and on and on and on about who is saved and who is lost? The Bible tells us. But they refuse to accept it. And so they may be like the foolish man. It is a false view of truth to hold that a preacher can preach anything else and still be pleasing to God, that is, preach something other than what the Bible teaches. Jesus did not commission his disciples to preach merely some religious message. He wanted them to preach the truth. Though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you, be accursed, be condemned. So we don't have a right to preach anything other than the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he told us what that message is. Alan dealt with this a little bit a while ago, and those of you here in this congregation have heard me say this before, but truth is objective and absolute. I can absolutely know what God wants me to do. There is a way that is right and cannot be wrong. There is. In spite of what others believe. It's not based upon my feelings, although feelings are involved in that, aren't they? Right? subjective inside. We can know the truth, and the truth can make us free. We love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, as Alan's mentioned. But truth is objective. It is outside of ourselves, and so we can read and we can study what God wants us to do. And there is objective truth, and it is absolute. For instance, proposition. Jesus Christ died for our sins. Now, you know that to be true, right? And it is true for everyone. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God so loved the world. True? That he gave his only begotten Son. True? That whosoever believeth in him should not perish but should have everlasting life. True? Sure. Can I know that to be true? Yes. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. In Acts chapter 2, and I'm not going to take time to read this, just review it with you. But in Acts chapter 2, this is the great sermon of Peter on the day of Pentecost. And you remember that right at the beginning he says, you know something, and here is what it is. You have taken Jesus, and by wicked or lawless hands have crucified him. Did they know that? Yes, they did. Well, how do I know? Well, as you read further on down in that text, after he preached to them about taking Jesus and crucifying him, they were pricked in their hearts, and they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? Something they needed to do. And the reason for that was they were convinced that they had taken Jesus and by lawless hands had crucified him. Now, this is important. The Bible taught what it now teaches century before any man now living was born. And by the way, it's always taught the same thing. Right? It remains the same. It's the same for everyone. It is a false view of truth to hold that truth is unattainable. I remember a number of years ago when I was in Parkersburg, there was a young lady that came to us from the Catholic Church. And she had a lot of questions about her faith and about things that she believed. And she said, would you answer some questions for me? And I said, well, yeah, I'll be glad to. And so she made me out a list of questions to answer. And so I gave her those answers. And she said, well, I may get back with you after I talk to the priest. And so she did. She took those questions and the answers that I gave her, and she went to the priest, and she had a conversation with the priest. And you know what his reply to her was? Don't bother with him anymore. Don't ask him any more questions. You know, this goes back to what we've heard already in all these lessons, and that is there are great precious promises revealed to us in the Bible. And if we care enough to know about the truth, as we should, then we'll examine everything in light of what is it that God wants us to do. Some say that we can seek the truth, but you really can't find it. You really can't know what the truth of God's word is. All accountable persons should be striving to learn the truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Some of you know this is true, but when we're preaching at times, sometimes the youngsters get kind of rowdy, you know, and you think that they're not listening to anything, and all of a sudden they'll speak up and give you an answer. They're listening intently, and they learn far more than we think, so we better be very careful, hadn't we, about what we teach them. But, you know, in our day and age, there is a desire, I think, expressed by people to learn as much as they can. Why can't we just take this a little further and say we want to learn all that we can about the Bible and put those truths into practice? It is also a false view to hold that it does not need to be defended. We are taught in the Scriptures that we are to earnestly contend for the faith. Jude 3, right? To make a defense of the truth. 1 Peter 3:15, we are to be ready always to give an answer, right? And the reason for that is we have a reason for our hope. And Peter says, you be ready always to give an answer to everyone that asks, because we have something that we're holding on to, and that's the truth. Prove all things, 1 Thessalonians 5:21. Prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. Test it, try it, prove it, and then hold fast to everything that is good. We must be devoted to a study of the Bible. You know, as we study, we are to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing, rightly handling the Word of God. I learned that a long time ago when I first, met Frank and Rose in the early 50s. Whew, man, it's been a long time ago. I had a Bible class teacher who I think probably every Sunday morning said, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly handling the Word of God. Study. We must be students of the Bible, zealous in our obedience to do always what the Bible teaches. Paul, in the book of Romans chapter 10, talks about those who decided that they were going to establish their own system of righteousness. Did you ever hear of anyone like that? They don't like what God's Word says, and so what they do is they try to go about to establish their own system of things. And Paul's desire was that his brethren be saved, and he wanted to make sure of their salvation. Not to suppress the truth, not to ignore it, but to accept it. Be obedient to it, so that they in turn could have eternal life. This afternoon, if you're not yet a Christian, we want you to think very seriously about your own soul. The greatest possession that you have is your soul, and it is a value. And the reason that I know that truth is because God so loved the world that He sent His Son to this earth to die for you and to die for me. And so now it's up to us to decide whether or not we're going to be obedient by believing that He is the Christ, repenting of our sins, acknowledging our faith in Jesus as God's Son, and finally being baptized into Christ for the remission of our sins. And then there's another charge, and that is you be faithful unto death, and you'll receive a crown of life. If nothing else were put on our tombstone, these words would be most impressive, wouldn't they? He or she was faithful unto death. Wouldn't that be a remarkable thing? You be faithful, and you'll receive a crown of life. We're going to sing the song that's been announced. If you're not yet a Christian, will you make your desire known? If you're a wayward child of God, make things right this hour. As together we stand and sing.